So welcome to meditative worship. I almost called it Taizé again, but I'm old school. Just one note, if you haven't heard about it, the day before Easter, so on Saturday, April 8th, we're going to have just some prayer stations set up in church from 12:30 to 4:30. And you can just kind of come and go as you want. It's not one of those things you have to be here the whole time. But it's going to just be some meditative ways to just get close and grounded in the Easter time. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for those that are here in your presence. I pray, Lord, that we each can just sink in, take this time away from our busy schedules, and meet you and have you meet us in those places that we need it most. And I pray that each one here opens their ears, their eyes, and their hearts to what it is you have for them. In your son's name, amen. Tonight's scriptures come from three separate passages, Lamentations, Isaiah, and Ecclesiastes. Be at peace as you listen for the Holy One. From Lamentations, I'll never forget the trouble, the utter lostness, the taste of ashes, the poison I've swallowed. I remember it all. Oh, how well I remember the feeling of hitting the bottom. But there's one thing I remember, and remembering, I keep a grip on hope. God's loyal love couldn't have run out. His merciful love couldn't have dried up. They're created new every morning. And from Isaiah, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. And from Ecclesiastes, two people are better off than one, for they can help each other succeed. If one person fails, the other can reach out and help. But someone who falls alone is in real trouble. Likewise, two people lying close together can keep each other warm. But how can one be warm alone? A person standing alone can be attacked and defeated, but two can stand back to back and conquer. Three are even better, for a triple braided cord is not easily broken. Allow God to direct you to a word or phrase from the second reading. I'll never forget the trouble, the utter lostness, the taste of ashes, the poison I've swallowed. I remember it all, oh how well I remember, the feeling of hitting the bottom. But there's one other thing I remember, and remembering, I keep a grip on hope. God's loyal love couldn't have run out. His merciful love couldn't have dried up. They're created new every morning. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. Two people are better off than one, for they can help each other succeed. If one person falls, the other can reach out and help. But someone who falls alone is in real trouble. Likewise, two people lying close together can keep each other warm. But how can one be warm alone? A person standing alone can be attacked and defeated, but two can stand back to back and conquer. Three are even better, for a triple braided cord is not easily broken. During the silence, you're invited to come forward to light a candle to signify a prayer intention or another understanding between you and God. You may also come to the prayer bench to receive prayer for you or another. For those of you wishing to give a tithe or an offering, you can do that when you come forward to light a candle or for communion or when you exit the worship center. I'll never forget the trouble, the utter lostness, the taste of ashes, the poison I've swallowed. I remember it all, oh how well I remember, the feeling of hitting the bottom. But there's one thing I remember, and remembering, I keep a grip on hope. God's loyal love couldn't have run out. His merciful love couldn't have dried up. They're created new every morning. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. Two people are better off than one, for they can help each other succeed. If one person falls, the other can reach out and help. But someone who falls alone is in real trouble. Likewise, two people lying close together can keep each other warm. But how can one be warm alone? A person standing alone can be attacked and defeated, but two can stand back to back and conquer. Three are even better, for a triple braided cord is not easily broken.
Whoa. Nice. All right, our final reading tonight.
I'll never forget the trouble, the utter lostness, the taste of ashes, the poison I've swallowed. I remember it all. Oh, how well I remember. The feeling of hitting rock bottom. But here's one thing that I remember, and remembering, I keep a grip on hope. God's loyal love couldn't have run out. His merciful love couldn't have dried up. They're created new every morning. When you pass through the waters, I'll be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. Two people are better than one, for they can help each other succeed. If one person falls, the other person can reach out and help. But someone who falls alone is in real trouble. Likewise, two people lying close together can keep each other warm. But how can one be warm alone? A person standing alone can be attacked and defeated, but two can stand back to back and conquer. Three are even better, for a triple braided cord is not easily broken. So yet tonight, I just couldn't settle on one topic, and so I took the liberty of choosing two topics and three scriptures, because I can. So recently, I've been a fan of the verses in the Lamentations. After a friend, she would use it after a really tough day. And so I really never ever paid attention to that scripture until she would say, oh, it's tough, but mercies are new every morning. And I'm like, oh, okay. And so the scripture, right, it says, the Lord's act of mercy and deeds do not end, for his compassions do not fail. They are new every morning. So I kind of think in a way it's like Bill Murray in the Groundhog Day movie, if y'all ever saw that. Right, where he woke up, and every day it's like going, doing it again and again. Except for us, it's like a new chance to experience life, right? Every day he woke up, new chance, see what's going to happen. So I don't know about you, but there's like certain days that I just can't wait to go to sleep at night so that I can get to those new mercies that are waiting for me when I wake up in the morning, right? Some of those days, and it could be those really long days that are draining spiritually and emotionally and physically, or the ones that feel like you've been riding that roller coaster all day long, and the days where it's impossible to keep all your plates spinning and more of them seem to be crashing than they're staying up on those little spinny things. The ones filled with not knowing what to do about whatever's going on or even how to do it. You don't know what to do. You don't know how to do it. The days that are filled with anxiety, that are thinking about what might happen down the road. So those are the days that I'm talking about when I really love those new mercies that are going to come. And I think it's like a really hope-filled scripture because his mercies and compassion, they're never going to end. Never, ever, ever, ever. And I think I find that comforting if we could only remember that in those moments that we're in those other times, right, that he's always going to be there. So recently, I have what I call discombobulation. It's a word about that long going on, and so where anxiety is greater than usual. And so my natural human tendency then is to spend time thinking and ruminating about what might happen in a few days or maybe next week or in a few weeks or, but what if next month this happens? And it actually happens. Let me research every aspect of whatever's going on, the various things, again and again, just in case I missed something the first five times I researched it. I don't know if y'all can relate to that, but when I'm in those spaces, I'm actually no longer in the present moment. I've like skedaddled out of the present moment, but the present moment is where God meets us, right? My friend Kim, she mentioned to me when I was telling her about being discombobulated, something that I'd never ever really thought about before regarding this scripture. She said, God's mercies are new every morning. He's going to meet me in my now. She said, he isn't out in the future, right, where I'm spinning my wheels. He's not out there in the future. I'm scrambling out there, and I'm getting upended, and I'm spending enormous amounts of my energy out there for things that have never even happened, may never happen. And God's not out there because the things haven't happened yet, right? He's supposed to meet us when things happen. And I need to come back into the now. Yes. So spending my time out there instead of right now is actually keeping me from experiencing the life that he wants me to have because it's here, what I can experience in the now. So whatever I may go through, whatever I might need, when I actually get to those moments, I can be assured God's going to meet me in them. I don't have to spend energy now on what might not happen. So the new mercy scripture, it took on then two different meanings. Not only is it comforting to know that if I've had a difficult day, that God's going to be with me, and when I wake up in the morning, it's like a do-over, and I get new mercies in that morning. But now it's also because of that, that I don't have to bring my worries and all from the future into today, because I already know he's going to be there if that were to happen. And I can choose to wait for that time instead of choosing to stay out there somewhere. And then the Isaiah verses I put in because it backs that up perfectly. When you pass through the waters, I'll be with you, and through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. So note the word when, right? Which I had never previously paid any attention to because I was always focused on the I will be with you. I skipped over all the rest of it. But it's when you pass through those, right? And when you walk through the fire, he's going to be there. So it just substantiates that. He's not saying for us to spend time wondering now if he's going to be there in the future. His words right here confirm that as well. When we face it, when it happens, he's going to be there. So we can leave that into his more than capable hands. And then you might be wondering, well, why in the world did I throw Ecclesiastes in there? I think the importance is that we're better together. So I wanted to bring in a little bit about community, especially whenever we're in these moments. You do need community around you to help bring you back, right? You need that person that says, you're into the future, come back here, this is where he is, or walking alongside us when you're going through something difficult. He did not intend for us to ever be in isolation or live in isolation. In fact, it's so far from the truth. That's not the healthy place to be. He talks about the importance of being in a healthy community. And I speak from tons of experience on this, that my community has helped me so many times, like keeping me grounded or being there for me. Or I remember February 8th, 2016. I know, I cried. No, but I really did. I had someone hold me in Pastor Dave's office down there on the floor as I sat there and just unloaded all kind of grief, like four different peoples. And she just sat there and held me. I mean, it was a monumental moment for both of us that I could be in there and it felt safe enough. So in Acts 2, verses 42 to 47, that is the fellowship of believers, and it talks about how he intended us to live in Christian community. It says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teachings and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who needed them. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes. They ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their numbers daily to those who were being saved. It says right there, like they're there for each other. We were created for this companionship. And we do better when we do have people to love and to serve with and to have fun with and to, I call it living life. I love having people that I live life with. I know they're there for me. I'm going to be there for them. And it just makes life so much more worth being here and living. He specifically designed us to crave and thrive in relationship with other people. And we're actually our best selves when we are having our highs and our lows with others. What it comes down to is like lifting each other up and learning from one another and being the friend that each one of us needs. God loves people, and he also knows that people need people. He created us to live in that space, giving and receiving support. And that actually, if you ever noticed it, when you've ever received support, it has you filled with gratitude, and generosity breeds out of that. So as we continue to be in community with people, we're growing gratitude and generosity amongst others. The community is a place where we teach each other And we hold ourselves accountable to each other. So it's not one where you just get to get off scot-free because you're buddies. You actually, when I hear somebody that God is teaching a lesson to, I'm also learning. When I submit to the guidance and the scrutiny of my community, it forces me to grow and to be accountable to any commitments I've made and to my growth. One of the most important ways the community helps us is by embodying Christ's continuing presence on earth. So when my brothers and sisters, they kind of love and accept me for who I am, then I get to feel Christ's love. When I confess, like, my sin, and then they accept me, they forgive me for whatever I have done, then I know that God forgives me too. When they pray for my brokenness, I know that they're sharing in the healing work of Jesus. I call it Jesus with skin on is what people become, right? Jesus with skin. Clothes on. Yeah, Jesus with clothes on. That's better. So just in closing, think about what things are you holding on to now that you're not even sure will ever happen. They're out there. And God wants you just to be in your present moment, experiencing the life that you have right in the spot, knowing he's with you here. Down the road, he'll be with you then. And how might you, as we're in the Lent season, how might you be community? Reach out to somebody. Foster a relationship maybe that hasn't been fostered. Or address some issue maybe you've had in a relationship that you can address and then even grow deeper in a relationship. Just think about ways that you can dive deeper into your community and be more in the present moment.